Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this fifth Sunday of Easter, year B. Our readings today, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, Psalm 22. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, and the Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Let us pray. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. We need not fear, for His Spirit is with us. We are surrounded by love, because His Spirit is with us. We are immersed in peace, for His Spirit is with us. And so we rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. And we travel in faith, for His Spirit is with us. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come because we must. We come because we ought to. We come because we need to. We come because we long to. We come because in you we have a joy and a gladness we have never known before. We come because you are the Lord. Amen. Lord, your name is holy. Your will for us is perfect. And your loving presence fills every corner of our lives. We know that the riches of your love expose the poverty of our lives. So easily are we tempted to please ourselves, to see even worship as something for our own personal blessing, to be offended when we are not thanked and praised. We pray that all that we say or do might draw us closer to Christ and make us more ready to be servants of the servant King. Amen. And we have our hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, CPWI 458.
Thank you.
We pray the collect for the fifth Sunday of Easter, followed by the Easter anthem, and then our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the feast, not with the unleavened of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, he died to sin once for all. In living, he lives to God. See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Abiding in the True Vine. Abiding in the True Vine. In our Gospel today, from John chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, Jesus delivers another of his I am statements. Jesus uses the metaphor of the vine, its branches, and the vine grower to teach his disciples the importance of having a relationship with him and obeying his commandments. He begins by saying, I am the vine and my Father is the vine grower. John chapter 5, verse 1. He expands on the role of the vine grower. He states, he, that is the Father, the vine grower, removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Each branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. John chapter 15, verse 2. The vine grower ensures that the vine begins to bear fruit and remains faithful. However, Jesus warns that the vine can only bear fruit if it abides in him. He says, abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 4. Jesus affirms, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 5b. To abide means to belong to stay with, to endure, to stand with. Jesus is telling his disciples that if they remain faithful to him, if they obey his commands, they will make a real difference in the world. They will influence others for good. Their lives will be fruitful. Others will benefit from their actions, actions which will be like those Jesus himself would carry out. Jesus points out that abiding in him, that is, following and living by the principles and precepts he taught, would enable his followers to do significant things in the world. Their lives would be productive and meaningful. They will do good things for others, good things in keeping with God's desire for God's people. They will bear fruit. He explains, just as the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 4b. Without Jesus in our lives, without any effort to follow his teachings, we will achieve nothing of value to the world, and we would not make a lasting difference in the lives of others. He warns, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus points out that those who do not abide in him and therefore are unproductive are thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. Verse 6. He also affirms that those who abide in him, that is, follow his teachings and live a life in Christ and for Christ, can ask for whatever they wish, and it will be done for you. Verse 7. Those who are truly following Jesus will ask for only what is in keeping with God's will, and therefore will receive that which is requested. All of this is for the purpose of glorifying the Father, as the branches bear fruit, fruit that will last, will be pleasing to God, and will glorify God. Our reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, demonstrates the fruit that was produced by the deacon Philip as he was abiding in the vine that is Christ. Philip was called to be a deacon in the church along with Stephen and five others. When the persecution of the followers of Jesus started in Jerusalem following the death of Stephen and fueled by the zeal of Saul, Philip, in his desire to be a branch of the vine which is Christ, went down to Samaria to preach the gospel. In today's reading, Philip is instructed by an angel of the Lord to travel along the wilderness road that leads southwest from Jerusalem to Gaza. There, Philip encounters a foreigner, a eunuch who is a high-ranking official in the service of the Queen of Ethiopia. Although he was a Gentile, he was a God-fearing individual who made the journey to Jerusalem to worship. The man was indeed searching for truth as he sought a relationship with the true and living God. He was well educated, had wealth and power, but something was lacking in his life. He was searching. He could read. He could afford a scroll. And as he made the journey home in his chariot, he occupied himself by reading aloud from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Philip was directed to him and recognized that he was reading from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. the fourth servant song of the prophet. In Isaiah's servant songs, the servant sometimes is presented as a corporate personality, that is, a group of people, and sometimes as a single individual. The early Christians saw many similarities between Isaiah's servant and Jesus, especially with regard to Jesus's suffering. Many understood that the suffering servant in Isaiah informed the suffering and death of Jesus. The Ethiopian therefore asked Philip the question, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Acts chapter 8, verse 34. Philip, as he abides in the vine which is Christ, explains the relationship between what is written in the Old Testament, the words of the prophet, and the gift of Jesus, the Son of God, to the world. The Ethiopian believes, and God provides the water to enable him to affirm his faith in baptism. He is baptized by Philip, who is whisked away by the Spirit. The Ethiopian continues joyfully on his journey home, we can imagine, to spread the good news of God's love as expressed in Jesus. Philip, who abides in the vine of Christ, bears good fruit, fruit that will last. Our reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, directs us to the way in which we can abide in the vine which is Christ and act as branches of the true vine, and like Philip, bear fruit. John invites us to love one another. He writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. If we abide in the true vine, we will understand that Jesus is the personification of God's love. John 3:16 affirms that for us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." If we abide in the true vine, our focus, our reason for being, is to love as God in Christ loves us. As we abide in Jesus, the true vine, we will experience true love, God's love. And out of that experience, we will know the power of love, and therefore respond to that experience by loving others as God in Christ loves us. As we abide in the true vine, Jesus, we will be moved to follow his example of love. He gave up his divine nature. He came into the world as a vulnerable human baby. He shared our experiences of growing to adulthood. And as an adult human being, he did his Heavenly Father's will. As the Lamb of God, he made the sacrifice of his life on the cross, that we might have life and have it in all its fullness. The fruit of Jesus' love is our redemption, our ability to receive God's gift of salvation. If we know and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we abide in him, we will love one another. And in that love, by our ministry in the church and in the world, we will bear fruit, fruit that will glorify our Father in heaven. Our challenge, therefore, is to abide in the true vine and therefore bear fruit, fruit that will reflect the vine to which we belong. How do we do this? By loving God, and out of that relationship, receive God's love by the Spirit of God, and in that love, love each other as God in Christ loves us. Amen. Let us pray. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, you are the vine and we are the branches. Keep us abiding in your life and love. Prune and tend your church that it may bear fruitful disciples of your grace. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, the Ethiopian official, sought to understand your good news. Expand the hearts and minds of all in authority to pursue truth and justice. Bring reason for all people to rejoice. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, your love sets our hearts ablaze. Open the hearts of all people to reflect this love in ways that nurture and foster character. Strengthen all who support parenting and provide guidance for the young. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, your love precedes us, and we respond with adoration and praise. Give to all who are afflicted grace to bathe in this affection. Raise us to delight in your loving purpose through good times and bad. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, you are made for your love. Do not forget the children you have made. May we all come to abide with you forever. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. The hymn CPWI 298, Beloved, Let Us Love. Thank you. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you today and always. Amen. And we pray that you will have a spiritually rewarding week and that God will continue to bless our nation. We end with, Lord, I lift your name on high.